Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 10, but let's go ahead and pray again. Father, we love you and thank you for the opportunity to meet here today in your house, Lord. Please meet with us, Lord. We're going to lift you up, try to brag on you, and we're not able to do service to what you deserve. But help us, Lord, and bless this service and use us to lift you up, Lord, to magnify you and glorify you. And Lord, as long as you give us breath, help us to pray fervently. Help us to preach the truth, and me to preach the truth, and Lord, to protect the flock. Help us to see things and give us some spiritual glasses today that we can see things your way. Help us and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The first thing I want to talk about is our strength. In verse number 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Every Christian, every saved believer that's saved any amount of time finally will finally come to the end. Most, if you're really trying to serve God, you'll finally come to a point where you are crying out to God and realize that, God, I'm just dirt. I'm dust. I have no strength. I have no hope. I have no help but you. If you don't show up and do something, I'm not going to make it. That's where we all end up. If you're trying to serve God, we all end up there. And boy, I'll tell you what, it could be painful, it could be tragic, it could be tribulation time almost, amen? Tribulation, not the great tribulation. It could be a terrible thing. But God uses these things for good. He used them to get us to realize, hey, we're just dust. And just like Adam in Genesis 2:7, if he don't breathe on us and use us and work through us, we have no hope. So, well, I just want to bring God honor and glory. We've got to realize that we're nothing and He's everything. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Sometimes we'll lose every ounce of strength we have. Every ounce of hope we have. So we'll turn to Him and trust in Him and hope in Him and trust in His strength and stand in His strength. Because that's where we're supposed to be anyway. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We talked about this in Sunday school. A tragic thing, Billy Graham, what a great revivalist preacher he was for all those years. And he gets to the end of his life, and he's, I don't remember if he was interviewing with Larry King, and one of them was Time Magazine, or who all he was talking to, but he got to the point where, you know, you don't even have to hear the name Jesus to get to heaven. Everybody's going to be Muslims. Okay, it just went down the list. Everybody's going to be in heaven. It has nothing to do with Jesus, and there is no hell. He no longer believes in a literal physical hell. He come to that point. Why did he come to that point? Because he was a wicked man? No, because he made a mistake. You know what his mistake was? He quit being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know what happens to us? Because we're men, not you women. I don't care what year this is. You guys are still women. But what happens to us as men is we fall into the guile of the devil. You know why the devil got kicked out? You know why he went from being the light bearer, bearing the light of Christ, to being the devil, the Satan, the old serpent, that old dragon? The reason he was kicked out is because of pride. So when you're going into a situation and you're like, well, you know, I've done this 1,000 times. I've seen a million people get saved. I've preached in football stadiums with 30,000 people in them. I've seen them walk the aisles. I've seen the aisles wet with tears. I've seen people from 3 years old to 103 hit their face and cry out to Jesus Christ and get saved. And I've seen this. And then the next thing you know, you're trusting in yourself. And then the devil's able to come in here and just mess you up. Say, am I being hard on Billy Graham? No, I'm being hard on us because he was a man. You know what else happened? The devil might have used that situation to mess him up. But the devil can't destroy all God's purpose, and God's purpose is to get the glory focused on Him, not Billy Graham. Amen. So we can look at Billy Graham and say God used him in a mighty way. He's also an example of not how to not end up. I say that in humility. I don't want to end up that way. I don't want to be preaching a false gospel, following the wrong Jesus, following the wrong spirit, teaching about throw the right Bible away. I don't want to end up there. Say, well, you can never do that because you're a King James Bible believer. Are you kidding me? It could happen to anybody. It could happen to any of us. We've got to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. When you're in your own strength, you're in nothing but weakness. And the devil can identify that just like God can. A man in his own strength, a woman in her own strength. Our strength, our spiritual battle. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because after a while, if you're not careful in the flesh, you'll think the battle is a carnal battle. It's a thing you can fight in the flesh. And you know, if I just work out and eat right and do right and read my Bible once in a while, I'll be all right. But you're not going to be all right unless you realize this is a spiritual battle and exercise some spiritual discernment. Amen. Say, well, the devil's going to come in, and if you're a man, he's going to bring the top supermodel to your house and offer her to you so you can get you drawn out from your family. Or if you're a woman, he's going to bring that Fabio Butter guy from 100 years ago right to your house and get you drawn away from your family. That's not the way the devil always works. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. It's what you're not looking for that he'll get you with. It's what you're not expecting that he'll get you with. It's what you're not supposedly, not couldn't happen to you is what he'll get you with. He'll get you with religion. I mean, hell's going to be full of religious people. And the judgment seat of Christ is going to have religious people that were saved, but they weren't nothing but religious after salvation. They didn't really have a walk with Jesus Christ. They didn't stand in His strength. They didn't understand the spiritual battle. Matter of fact, most people, when they first get saved, the devil does everything he can to defeat them after salvation so they don't do anything for the Lord the rest of their life. The spiritual battle, it's spiritual. Look at the shod feet in verse 16. Above, 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isn't that something? Your feet. You know, you're talking about how beautiful they preach the gospel. We're supposed to be walking around giving the gospel of peace. Now, I understand that we don't compromise. We're not making excuses for sinners. You know, shouldn't make excuse for sinners. Shouldn't make excuse for your own sin. Amen. But our feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's the gospel of peace? I know there are a lot of people out there on the internet, even they call themselves Bible believers, and they might believe the Bible, they don't try to live it. And I want to try to live it, amen. They're talking about, I can't wait to come back and kill everybody. I can't wait to come back with Jesus and Armageddon. Well, what are they doing now? They're supposed to be telling people about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. And instead, they're arguing over stupid stuff. And they're trying to destroy other brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're making merchandise of the Armageddon thing. I mean, there's a guy on there that's selling these Armageddon pins. And he just, well, I can't wait. And he's got followers on there. Just can't wait to come back and kill everybody. Well, that's not God.
Right. Amen.
You know what the Bible says about God? He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I know He's angry with the wicked every day, but He also takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
That's right.
These people are taking pleasure in the death of the wicked right now. Amen. I'm taking pleasure in the fact that God's going to get rid of the devil forever. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. I'm taking pleasure
Amen.
In the fact that I'm not going to have to fight me forever. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm not taking pleasure in the fact that people are going to die and burn in hell. We're going to have to come back. We're going to come back with God, and we're going to have to see people that are going to be damned to eternal hell. I'm glad we're on the right side.
Amen.
But I'm looking for the day that He raptures us out of this dirt hole. I'm not looking for the day we come back and kill people. Now, when my mind's right up here at the judgment seat of Christ, I got the mind of Christ and things are right, I'll be judging righteous judgments like God does, and we come back and we defeat the enemy, praise God. But right now, I'm not in that place. Right now, God has given us a calling to tell people that they're sinners, they're going to burn in hell without Jesus Christ. He died, shed His blood, was buried, rose again, and if you call on Him, trust in Him and Him alone, you're going to heaven. That's our job. That's the gospel of peace. There are a lot of people out there who say they're Bible believers and they're preaching a gospel of war. Well, this guy here is the one that likes war. He comes into tribulation. He stops one and starts another one. I don't know what's going to be going on when he stops the one, but the one he starts in the middle of that thing, he's going to have a war against Israel and try to kill all the Jews. Hitler's done it. Stalin, I mean, you can go down the list of people that's already done it in type. But this guy's going to come back and be the devil incarnate right there. And he is leading a lot of the people that say they're Bible believers today. He's leading their lives. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm just saying they've fallen into the trap of the devil. And they're so caught up in what's going to happen here that I believe they're forgetting what we're supposed to be doing here in the church age. In the church age, we're supposed to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean, there's a time I don't kumbaya and hold hands with all these weirdos and perverts, but I do tell them how to get saved. I'm not going to join elbows with them and have a day of prayer. You know, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to tell them how to get saved. I've had them spit at me, had them say vile, disgusting stuff that if I wasn't saved, I'd have killed them in the street. I'm not kidding you. I wasn't that nice before I was saved. I'm not that nice now sometimes. I'll tell you that right now. Some of the stuff they've said to me, them perverts and sodomites have said to me, I would have choked them to death if they'd have said that when I was lost. Matter of fact, I thought about it a couple times when I was saved. I mean, you can only go so far. I'm a man, and God says to live peaceably as much as lieth in you, and sometimes there's not that much in me. Our strength, the spiritual battle, our shod feet, we're supposed to be telling people how to get saved. Look at verse 15, or 16, sorry. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield. What's your shield of faith? Bible. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. Shield of faith right here. What are you supposed to do with this? Be protected from the fiery darts of the wicked. You say, well, if Fabio and Christy Brinkley show up at our house in their prime, I'm going to be all right because I'm reading my Bible. And my wife's going to be all right because she don't need Fabio. Amen. She's got Davio. No. But the thing is, that's not the battle. The one that's outward, the one that might be obvious, the one that you can see everywhere around the world people losing to, that's not the one the devil's after you with. He's after you. It says the fiery darts. The fiery darts. He's not going to just throw one dart out there. He knows exactly what dart he can hit you with. He knows exactly when your shield's down. He knows exactly when you're standing in your strength instead of the Lord's. He knows exactly when you're looking at a spiritual battle as a carnal thing instead of a spiritual thing. He knows better than you do where you're at spiritually. And if you're not praying and reading your Bible, he's going to hit you with one of those fiery darts. Say, well, then I'm just going to have a terrible testimony. He doesn't even care about that. He doesn't necessarily have to destroy your testimony. All he's got to do is stop you from working for God. And you're either worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil or you're worshiping the flesh. Amen. The shield of faith, which is this book. Look at 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The salvation helmet. We've seen our strength, the spiritual battle. We've seen the shod feet, the shield of faith, the salvation helmet. What's a helmet do? Protects your head. Where's the biggest battle go on? Between your ears. That's where most of the room is for the battle for me. That's what goes on. The battle's in your mind. To try to get your mind off God onto something else. Or to think you make you think you've got your mind on God when it's truly the wrong God, the wrong thing. We'll get into that a little more. The salvation helmet. I know I'm saved because I've done what the Bible said to do. Trusted Christ. I believe He shed His blood to wash away my sins, and I've trusted Christ, called on Him, asking to forgive me and save me. Me asking didn't save me. What He did saved me.
Amen.
For by grace He is saved through faith. I put my faith, you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The last part of that verse, we'll read 17 again. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You know what I see a lot of these people doing out there? A lot of preachers. A lot of supposed Bible scholars. They're not using the sword of the Spirit. I mean, they got... If I'm going... I don't know if you remember the Highlander series and all that stuff, or the Scottish fighters and all that... sword fights and all that stuff. Man, that's serious. You hear that metal clang? You hear that metal clang together? That's give you chills. And, you know, all that stuff. If I'm getting in a sword fight, first of all, I want to learn how to use my sword. I'm going to assume the other guy knows.
Yeah.
Amen. And hope I know more. And pray a lot. But if he's got this sword and it's been handcrafted, I mean, they put that thing on the anvil and they beat that thing and tempered that thing and sharpened that thing and they got it just so, I'm not going down to Dollar General and getting a kid's sword to play with. So if you got an NIV, RSV, or RSEP, RSPECT, whatever you got, and it's not a King James Bible, you need to throw that in the trash and get a real one.
Right.
Amen. Because you're in a fight. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. The sword of the Spirit. I think some of them are swords, but what spirit?
Yep.
Amen. What spirit? I mean, we got one that withstood the test of time, that's went through the fire, that's been tempered and tried. Here it is. The King James Bible. The sword of the Spirit. I had the opportunity to meet a preacher one time. His name was Williams, and I talked to him a couple times, and every time I talked to him, he'd quote the Bible to me. You know why? Because he took it seriously. He really knew what was in the Bible, and he quoted it all the time. He was always quoting. He'd give you, well, over here, and this problem here, then if you look at Daniel here, and he knew the Bible, and he tried to apply the Bible to every problem there was. He said, well, that's over the top. No, that makes sense. It's the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Our strength, the spiritual battle, the shod feet, the shield, the salvation helmet, the sword of the Spirit. I want to read 11, 13, and 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Here we are in the evil day. Withstand. You're withstanding something. And having done all, to stand. Look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So he's saying don't compromise and do right, but he's saying stand. So all these things we looked at, I want to look at the stand. I want to talk about, look at verse 11 again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know God is a spirit. And he that worshipeth him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's what the Bible said. God is a spirit. You've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you worship him in spirit and in truth, you worship him according to this Bible. The right God. The right spirit. The right type of worship. You know, sanctifying through thy truth, thy word is truth. That book is truth. In John 4, 23 and 24, it says God is a spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15, it says that natural man can't understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. And in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17, it says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Well, I had somebody come up to me last week, I don't remember who it was, somebody in church service here that said, have you heard about this Asbury revival going on? Hadn't really heard about it. The first thing I think when somebody mentions a revival going on that has nothing to do, that's not in a Baptist church, I'm thinking, I don't know about this. And then I feel a little bit guilty, and I'm like, well, let's take the foot off the brake, put it on the gas a little bit, let's go that road a little bit, let's see. Then I get excited and thinking, maybe God's having a last-second revival before he calls us out of here. And then I want to check into it to see what's going on. You know, you guys heard this Asbury revival that's going on down there? You realize where that was at? That's a Wesleyan seminary, which is a Methodist church, which has left the truth. So that's a flag right there. So I'm checking this out. God, he'll pick and choose who he uses. Somebody saved down there, I don't care if they're going to the Methodist church, and God says, I'm going to just light a fire in these people you can't put out. Praise God. I'm looking forward to that. Hope he does that soon and calls us out of here. But I got checking into that. You know what some people wrote? Not just somebody that was criticizing it, somebody that was there, wrote that they were 8 days into it, and for the first 8 days, the prayer and messages were led by people of color, women, and queers. That's not my word, that's theirs. The only way God was within 100 yards of that place is if a saved person actually wandered in there and stayed. That wasn't a revival of God. That's the devil setting this place up for the Antichrist. You know, they're saying, well, no, the university is going to more appreciate the purpose and the potential of the sodomites because of this revival. They're gaining ground. That's wicked. Another guy said he went in there. They're Baptists on there praising this thing. World Baptist conventions and stuff on there praising this thing, the outpouring of the Spirit. There were people to come in there from the Pentecostal movement casting out devils and stuff supposedly in there. They're calling that thing a revival. Well, they wouldn't know a revival unless they opened that book and started reading it. God wasn't in that mess. And then the revival that spontaneously started, they just shut it off one day and said, we had enough of it. Well, I mean, if the Holy Spirit's moving, why stop Him? I believe somebody down there realized something's going wrong here. Probably the administration. Thought, man, we're way out there liberal and we're looking bad, amen? But that wasn't... You see, that's the wiles of the devil. See, he wants you and me to think, man, that's great. Now they're down there casting out devils and the Spirit's moving and people are... Do you realize the message? I didn't hear the messages. I don't want to hear the messages. I don't care what they prayed. I hope they prayed to get saved. But the message that so-called, that sparked that so-called revival didn't have anything to do with salvation, not death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It sparked a revival. I didn't hear the message, but I can almost give you the outline. I guarantee it was about love, love, love. And it wasn't anything to do with truth. But when they said, and here, if I was a black man, or a woman, I don't want to be a woman either way, but if I was a black man, I'd be mad as the devil that they said people of color and women and queers were leading the services. Right. Ain't nothing wrong with a black man leading the services. He's That's a man. Right. A man's supposed to be leading those services. Right. But they put them in with the women that are not supposed to be leading the services and the queer that probably just need to get saved and go somebody else's services. They put them together. Like being black's the same as being queer. That's ridiculous. It's the wiles of the devil. They want you to feel guilty because you're white. And then they'll hook that to the queers and make you feel guilty because you're straight. And they don't want you to feel guilty about sinning against God. Like God, hey, God doesn't mock with sin. He don't play games with sin. They're like, oh, God just loves us all. Hey, God loved you on Calvary and He gave you an opportunity to get saved in this church age. You don't love what you're doing. You don't even like it. And when you get to hell, you're going to think about this for the rest of eternity, how you sinned against God and you made a mockery of the Bible and the truth. And you called it church. You called it a revival. You got women and queers up there leading and singing and preaching, so-called preaching. And you got Baptists praising it. So what's wrong with this picture? People don't read their Bible. They don't know who God is anymore. They think, hey, Joel Steen's God's not the God of Genesis 1. I'm not saying, I don't know if the guy's saved or not, but he don't preach the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is a God of love and a God of judgment. Yep. Well, I don't want to judge anybody because... You don't want to judge anybody because it might get into your $500 haircut. Yep. You don't want to judge anybody because you might not be able to get jet number 4. Well, judge not. No, the Bible says he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Right. I judge. I'm not that spiritual, but I'm judging that thing that happened at Asbury and saying that God wasn't in that. Amen. Amen. How do I know? Because if I'm not got right with God, I come up here, He's not in that. Yep. How are they going to say, well, the women and queers were preaching and every God just moved in a mighty way. Hey, if God moved in a mighty way at the queers preaching, that place wouldn't even be there. Remember we moved in a mighty way at Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what happened? Burnt them places to the ground. And the Baptists are praising that mess. Stand. Well, that means I can't do this. No, it means understand, have some spiritual discernment, rightly divide that book, and understand what's going on. The devil is setting up his kingdom. He's in control of everything. He says, well, Trump and Biden, it doesn't matter. The devil's running this place anyway. If Trump accidentally done something right and he got back in, accidentally done something right afterwards, this place is still going to burn to the ground one day. They say, well, if we all just get together and lock elbows and sing Kumbaya, we're going to make this great kingdom where everybody just gets along. And if God come back then, it'd be just, I'll tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like this. If everybody locks elbows and gets along and say, well, that's all right if you want to be a girl and you want to be a boy and you want to be a queer and you want to be this and you want to be that, you want to be Mary instead of John, you want to be Jane instead of John, you want to do that, and we just lock elbows and sing Kumbaya and we all pray to the same God, which you can't do that if you're saved because you got the right God. But if we all pray to God, if God come back in that mess, He wouldn't be coming back for this. He'd be coming back for this to destroy. Say, well, God just, He's a God of love. Yeah, He is. He gave His Son on Calvary to wash away your sins. Get right. Fools make a mockery of sin. Well, the Asbury thing is an amazing outpouring of the Spirit. I believe that, but not the Holy Spirit. Another person went in there and said for 2 hours, they stood in the rain for an hour and a half to go in and just see what was going on because they were kind of suspicious. And for 2 hours, their band played. So they had a band in there. What they're doing is they're working up emotions. And some of these saved folks even are in there and they're getting emotional. And the next thing you know, they're crying and hugging on the queers and everybody's all right. We're all in this together. And God loves everybody. And then we're just making a bigger cesspool for God to come back and judge. You say, well, judge not. It's not my place to judge. If you're saved, it is. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you're not spiritual. If you're saved and reading your Bible and asking God for discernment and comparing Scripture with Scripture, you can judge all things. Like I said, I don't know if Joel Steen's lost or saved. All I know is he's in the money. And if that's all he's got, he'll take that. He can't take that to hell with him anyway, if he's lost. I don't know if the guy's lost or saved, but I can tell you what he's doing is wrong. That Asbury thing, are there saved people in there? Probably were. But what was going on there was wrong. People are like, man, we're having a big revival. And I'm not of the camp that believes God won't have a revival. I don't think we're going to see a worldwide revival for the rapture, but he does a revival in man's heart all the time. He'll do a revival in your heart if you just get your sin into the blood and praise his name, lift up Jesus Christ. They weren't doing that. They were lifting up the LGBT and the women preachers, LQRS, MOP, whatever's going on with that alphabet soup mess over there. They're lifting that stuff up, lifting up the women preachers. And, you know, they get together in Kumbaya and have a rock concert and say, Jesus, Jesus, once in a while. But when they get down there and they talk about Jesus Christ that come as the darling Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, and he walked to Calvary, he marched to Calvary, he set his face like a flint toward Calvary, and he went to Calvary, and he laid his life down, and he shed his blood, and they stuck him under that fifth rib, and the blood and the water came out, and he died, and he went to hell and dropped off your sin debt, and he come back up and rose again to live forever.
Amen.
They won't talk about that there. Because we got a bloody religion. They want a Kumbaya religion. They won't talk about the fact that he burnt Sodom and Gomorrah to the ground. They won't talk about the fact that he's going to come back and judge this place. They won't talk about the fact that we're going to get out of here if you're saved, and if you're lost, you're going to be stuck here. They won't talk about that. And the only way you're going to have a revival is by bragging on him and getting your sins right. You know what revivals have always been? They've always been where God's people got on their face and cried out to God, we're just dirt, and you're everything. Help us. And God will send his Holy Spirit down, and he'll move through that crowd, and people will start confessing their sins. And they'll start getting right. And they'll start closing up their pot shops, and closing up their alcohol shops, and closing up their whorehouses, and closing up all their stuff. Not going, hey, God just doesn't care anymore. He just loves everybody. Do what you do. Come as you are, stay as you are, leave as you were. Burn in hell, nobody really cares. God cares. But he's not going to show up when he doesn't get the preeminence. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Bible believer before I'm a Baptist. But I'm a Baptist. I'm thankful for our history, for our heritage. I'm thankful that we can go back before 325 A.D., before Roman Catholicism, all the way back to Paul. And we believe what Paul believed, and Paul believed the rapture was imminent. It could happen any time. I believe it could happen any time. I hope it happens today. I am glad that we can go back to that. I'm glad we have that heritage. But I am more glad that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm more glad that I can call on the name of Him. I can call on Him to get saved. I can call on Him to save me from myself. I can call on Him to carry me through each day. I'm glad that He died, shed His blood, was buried, and rose again. And I ain't hanging out with a bunch of queers and locking elbows and saying everything's normal. I've got my own problems. Don't need theirs. God's not going to show up that mess. You say, well, you're just mean. Well, God is the one that set the rules. And He's the one that sent the fire down to destroy the Sodomites. I didn't. He probably waited longer than I would have. Amen. He's patient, long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want the rapture yesterday. But God's long-suffering. God's not a man.
Right.
He thinks different. Our ways are not His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are beyond finding out. We don't know what's going on. All we know is what He promised in the future. If I was God, we'd be out of here today. But somebody'd be in hell that shouldn't be. God's doing this right.
Amen.
Amen? But all those revivals that happened over history, they were based around the Word of God, not feelings. Hey, when a revival shows up, when God shows up, the Spirit of God moves, Jesus Christ is being lifted up. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. When Jesus Christ is lifted up, when you're lifting up God, say, it's all about Him, it's not about me, we're nothing, I'm just a worm, I'm dirt, I'm nobody, and you're everything. God's going to show up, His Spirit's going to move, and He's going to do something. People are going to get right. They're not just going to cry and leave the same way they were. They're going to get right. That's what revival is. People don't even know what revival is anymore. We schedule our revivals now. You know something? We're going to have revival Wednesday through Sunday. And we're going to invite the Lord to show up from 7 to 9 Wednesday through Sunday and then twice on Sunday. And God, He just does what He does when He wants to do it. But He does it when He's welcome. He does it when He's being lifted up and glorified and magnified. And He does it with Spirit and truth. Spirit, why am I going down this road? Why am I being so hard on the Methodist? It's not just the Methodist. It's the Presbyterians. It's the Baptists. It's all of them. Everybody has left the truth. If you've got a book that you believe is God's Word, and you read it, and you sit under the teaching of it, and you show up to church for it, you're a remnant of people that actually want truth. Most people don't want truth anymore. You see, if you don't pray and you don't read your Bible, you get caught up in the human emotions. And you get caught up in the trap of the devil. The news media is not your friend. It's an arm of the devil to make you think the way they want you to think. They want you to feel guilty when you're going with God and happy when you're going against God. And if you're not reading your Bible, you're going to get caught up in the wiles of the devil. And you're going to think right is wrong and wrong is right, even as a saved person. Amen. The strength is in God. The spiritual battle has to be fought by God and His Word, His protection, the shod feet. I wonder how many people at this magnificent Asbury revival, and that's not the only one. They're planning other ones. The Pentecostals are all fired up now because they can draw in more people to their Antichrist meetings. They're going to get the people in there, and you know they're really going to set the stage up. Now they're all fired up. Matter of fact, they started taking over that meeting. That's probably why it got shut down. They were saying they were casting out devils and everything else. Then they're speaking in tongues. All that goofy stuff they were doing down there. But all these revivals, or alleged revivals, how many people are looking people in the eye and saying, hey, God loved you, died for you? How many people are quoting Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? How many people are quoting, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? How many people you think in that whole mess said, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart, God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How many people you think said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How many times you think the blood was mentioned down there in that mess? Probably that. Probably zero. How many times you think the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world was lifted up and said, He's coming back as judge, you better get ready? How many times you think that happened down there? I'm going to guess zero. Instead, they're having a big flesh fest down there, a rock concert, casting out devils, allegedly speaking in tongues, and the queers are getting up there and leading in the singing, leading in the preaching, leading in prayer. And you probably got born again, believe, probably some Baptists in there on their knees praying with the fags. So, well, that's mean. It is mean. The Baptists shouldn't do that stuff. Do I want them to die and go to hell? No. But I don't want us to go to hell literally, physically, on this earth with them. That's dragged through this dumpster with them. And look, this is not easy for me to preach because I'm thinking somebody's going to get mad and never come back. Well, the people that stay, at least they got the truth. Praise the Lord. Two or more gathered in my name, God said, we might get down to that, but we're going to preach the truth. And I'm telling you that because I want to, hey, look, I don't care. I'm ready to go. Lord can call me out of here with a heart attack or the rapture right now. I'm ready to go. I got very little left. I got very little care for this world. Matter of fact, the world makes me want to puke. You start to see sin the way God sees sin, it makes you want to throw up. But while I'm here, I want to pray. I want to preach. And I want to protect the flock. And the flock doesn't always like being protected. You think them sheep, when they get out there to the edge and they're eating grass over there where they shouldn't be, and you don't get back over here? Well, apparently they liked it over there. They don't want to go back. But sometimes they got to go back. And sometimes we all have to be nudged back by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God and be anchored to truth. And I'm not, hey, look, I'm not anybody that was excited about that revival and they heard about it. I was a little bit excited too until I found out what was going on down there. I'm not saying anything against you. I'm just telling you, be careful. Be careful. 20-some years ago, I was invited to the National Day of Prayer in a little town over in Illinois. I was young, saved, didn't know a whole lot. All I knew is there was a big battle over the Bible versions and right gospel and all this stuff. I didn't know a whole lot. I go over there, and there are people just lined up around the park holding hands, women preachers and whatever. I mean, anything goes out there praying together. Nah. I want to pray with saved people. Pray for lost people. Pray with saved people. Amen. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Say, Lord, touch not the unclean thing. You realize another thing they said about that revival down there? It was wonderful. I'm paraphrasing here, and it's not a Bible, so I can paraphrase it, amen. A wonderful mix of Roman Catholics and Pentecostals, and they just went on down the list, Methodists and Presbyterians. It was a wonderful mix for the devil. So that guy's nuts. That guy up in our pulpit, he's nuts. He just hates everybody. No, I love the Lord. I want to do right by God. And I don't want you to think that if you go hanging out with all these lost people and start praying together with them, God's going to bless it. Pray for them, not with them. Amen? And stick to the truth. You realize in Hebrews it says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, in the manner of some is, and much more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? You know why what the importance of being in church is? Not any church, but being in a Bible-believing church where you get the truth. So you don't get messed up. I'm not immune from it, to it either. All of us get messed up. Devil's after everybody. He wants to mess you up. Like I said, he wants you to feel guilty for being a man if you're a man, being a woman if you're a woman, being white if you're white. The biggest attack he ever did on women was telling them if they were a homemaker, they didn't have any value. I was talking to a black kid over at Walmart the other day. You know, we talked a little bit, and he wasn't real interested in talking, but I said, look, man, here's a white man telling you this. Because we were talking about religion. He said, well, the science is coming real close to proving this Big Bang or some crazy thing. I said, look, man, Charles Darwin was one of the biggest racists you ever met. He thinks that you're inferior species. Not just about your culture, it's about your species. He thinks that you, if you have black skin, are less than a white man. I've been around white men and black men. There's good ones and bad ones in both crowds. God doesn't see skin color. He sees sin color. He died for every man on this earth, every man and woman on this earth. He died for all the world. Amen? Now, I understand. Look, I'm 100% all on board with the fact that God doesn't like all these cultures being blended together to turn people away from God. Whatever they brought pagan from Africa and whatever they brought pagan from Europe, whatever they got pagan, it's all being blended together and they're calling it worship. God doesn't like that. But when it comes to individual souls, you're either lost or saved. Amen? But they want to pit us against each other. Now look, if I am saved by the grace, I'm saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'm a saved man, and this Chinese man saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and a black man saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, an Eskimo saved by the grace of God through the blood, pick one. We're brothers in Christ. Amen? So do we have to hang out if we don't believe the same things and we're not living the same way? No. But honestly, come out from among them, be ye separate. Say, Lord, touch not the unclean thing. Probably applied a lot of the Baptists too now. Live right. Amen? And have some spiritual discernment. So the devil don't take you out with one of the fiery darts. You see, it's not the obvious thing that he'll get you with as a Bible believer. It's the subtle thing. Well, they had a big revival down there, and man, sodomites were in it, and God was all over. No. No. Spiritual discernment. Just because we're in the church age, and that's another dangerous thing about calling it the age of grace, because people abuse that word grace. And we'll all do it if we're not careful. But that grace does not include God condoning all sin. It includes the opportunity to get all sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it includes. Jesus Christ said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me." Well, if all men were being drawn and they had lines of thousands of people and there was a revival going on, show me where they were lifting up Jesus Christ. And I'll believe it. I'll believe it. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the discernment you give us. Help us, Lord. Help us as we go forward. Strengthen us. Bless this church. Breathe on this church. Fill these seats as you see fit. Bring in soldiers, Lord, people that are willing to march to the right drum, the people that are willing to stand in truth, stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, help us not be washed away with the tide of perversion and the tide of heresy, Lord, that we would stand in truth, Lord, that you would bless us with a discerning heart, Lord, and mind, and spirit, Lord, that we'd be able to understand when you're in something, and Lord, that you would be invited every service to be in something. We'd lift you up, that you'd be brought honor and glory. Help us to do that in our day-to-day lives, Lord. We love you and thank you for everything you do. Bless this church, bless these folks. Help us to be right with you, in Jesus' name. Amen.